Hi, this is Sean Milo, and this is the MiloCast for Thursday, March 3rd, 2005. And I thought I would take a little bit of time today to share what I have learned so far about creating a podcast. And I'm not going to go into details about equipment and model numbers and things like that. Just some more very basic general stuff, for the most part, that won't involve you spending any money. Just sort of technique type things that I've picked up from various sources. First thing is good to have a pop filter to reduce the hard sound of the letter P and T and the letter B and certain sounds that just force a lot of air out of the mouth into the microphone. And from listening to openpodcast.org, I'm certain that you've heard examples of this from time to time. All a pop filter really is it's basically the same material as pantyhose stretched over some kind of frame, usually a round ring. And these can be purchased pretty cheaply for, I think I paid about $12 for mine. And you can also just get one of those wooden rings that are used for crocheting or whatever that is. I'm not a big arts and crafts person. And just get real pantyhose and stretch it over it, and you've got a homemade pop filter. And another thing that might be useful, depending on how you use your microphone, is a windscreen. And it's basically one of those foam covers that you put over the mic. And if you've heard certain podcasts where with every breath you hear them breathing on the mic, and it's actually a lot louder to the listener than you would think it is while it's recording, a windscreen might help. Another thing that I've heard from a few people is if you put the mic at about a 45-degree angle from you so that you're talking kind of across it, the air doesn't hit it quite so hard, and it works out pretty well. And I would say that I probably keep my mic about 6 inches from my mouth, and of course I talk across it at that angle and have the pop filter, and that's the combination that I found works best for me. As far as software, I just use Audacity, Audacity, because it works well for me. It's a free program. It's available for Windows, Linux, and Mac, and I've used it on all three, and it's just a pretty good program. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about background noise. There's always going to be background noise, and once you start recording and listening to your recordings, you're going to realize that the microphone picks up a lot more than your ear picks up when you're sitting in a room. So there's just kind of dead room noise. Unless you're in a professionally padded studio or something, you're going to have some noise in the background. And one of the ways to get that background noise out of your recording is to use what's called an expander or a downward expander. And I have a voice processor, which is a piece of hardware, and one of the features is an expander, but I believe that you can get that feature from certain software or from certain software plugins. I don't know that for sure, and I don't know if that's available for free, but I'm just going to give you a quick example of what the downward expander actually does for the recording. I'm going to turn the expander down so that you're going to hear the room noise. So now you're hearing background noise just of the room, both when I'm talking and when I'm not talking. And it's actually not too bad. The wind was blowing pretty good outside the window before, and it was kind of loud. And if one of my cats were to meow or bang on the door with their paw, you would certainly hear it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the expander back up, turn the threshold. Okay, so you just heard a car alarm outside, which you probably wouldn't have heard if I'd had the expander on. I'm going to turn the expander threshold back up so that it minimizes that noise. Now, I've only turned it up a little more than halfway of where it could go, and the temptation might be to just turn it all the way up because it'll kill all the sound. The problem is that if you turn it up all the way, you'll get what is called an aggressive expander, and that is when you start talking and it suddenly throws the switch or whatever it does inside to let the voice start coming through, you really hear it just suddenly come in. It's just really noticeable. And most people probably won't even notice it, but you'll come to notice it. And if you want the best quality, try to go with a lower setting on the expander, about as low as you can and still block out the room noise. Now, for some people who just sit down and record their show beginning to end and put it out, they're not going to get much use out of this tip. But if it's something where you want to go back and edit out some of the mistakes, or you really don't want that five times where you couldn't get that one word out and stumbled on it, you want to really get that out of your recording, this is a good tip. And I actually learned this from Michael Gohagan of Real Reviews, and he talks about it in his weblog, and I'll put a link in the show notes for this at milocast.com. And the tip is just to, when you make a mistake, just pause and stop talking for 3 or 4 seconds, you know, a good amount of time, because as you're using Audacity or whatever recording software you're using, you're going to see in the recording all the sounds that you made as little peaks and valleys, and the louder you talk, the higher they'll get. So if you stay quiet for a few seconds, you'll see a flat line, and when you're editing, you can quickly just go to that, listen to what takes place right after the pause, then go back to just before the pause and find the place where you stumbled and just cut out the blank space and the mistake, and you'll have a pretty seamless sounding podcast. And that's what I do most of the time, because I want my podcast to sound good, and I think it's easier for people to listen to. In addition to Michael Gohagan's suggestion of using the pause for when you've made an error, I've come up with another use for the pause, and that's actually if you are talking and you want to stop and collect your thoughts for a moment to decide how to say something so you don't stumble, or you want to take a look at your notes that you've prepared for what you want to talk about. Sometimes it's good to just stop and take a breath and pause. This is also good when you're talking about one topic and then you want to jump right to the next topic, and normally you would go, or and a lot of times I say, so, just because we have that tendency to fill that empty space. But if you just pause and give it a few seconds, later in you can go back and edit it out. And the problem I found with doing that was that when I would go to cut out the gaps, I would have to listen to each one to distinguish the gaps where I had made a mistake because I wanted to cut out more than just the blank space, and the gaps where I had stopped just to gather my thoughts. And what I came up with was, if I made a mistake, then I would pause for 2 or 3 seconds and then say the word mistake or something like that, and then pause for another few seconds and then continue my recording. And what that does is it creates flat lines with a little blip in the center for the mistakes and just long stretches of blank space for the pauses. That way I can just cut out the pauses really easily without blindly just cutting out the pause after a mistake and actually having the mistake in there so it sounds like I said it wrong once and then right another time. And one of those actually did slip through into a podcast that I put out. I forget which one, but I didn't hear it until after it had already gone up. And it didn't sound too horrible, but that's the kind of thing I like to avoid. Another trick that a lot of podcasters use, and you'll hear it a lot, is playing music throughout the entire podcast. And that's usually referred to as a sound bed. And the nice thing about having a sound bed is that if you do not have a voice processor or any kind of downward expander, the music just covers up the background noise. And it's a really useful trick. The couple of drawbacks you have there are, one, depending on what you're playing and the volume at which you're playing it, it may actually distract from what you're trying to say, which could defeat the purpose. And another thing is you can't use the pause trick to gather your thoughts or to cover up a mistake because the gap in the music will be painfully obvious. But for a lot of short podcasts, it probably works out very well. Another thing that you've probably noticed by now from listening to some podcasts is mouth noise. And that is just the noises the mouth makes because it's wet as you're trying to talk. The noises that your tongue makes or the saliva in your mouth make while you're forming certain words. It's kind of like when some people, instead of saying they kind of go, but it's more of an involuntary thing that just kind of happens. And I was reading a book by Ty Ford called Advanced Audio Production Techniques, and he had a simple suggestion in there that if the person speaking sips regularly from a glass of room temperature water, this will actually avoid a lot of mouth noises. Now, I don't really know the whys behind that, but I'm giving it a try, and it seems to be working out okay. Because when you guys listen to the Milocast, you really aren't looking to hear my saliva. You want to hear what I have to say, hopefully. And I kind of have to talk about Ty Ford a little bit, because I just used him as an authority. And I met Ty Ford, although not personally, through news groups when I was doing some research for putting together my equipment for my podcast. I put up a request for information and talked about what I wanted to do and what I had so far. And he was one of the people who responded to my post. And he gave me some good advice, and I went to his website, and it turns out that here's a guy who's a professional producer who owns his own studio and has been doing broadcasting, recording, and producing and all kinds of audio-related things for decades. So this is a guy who really knows what he's talking about, and I will put a link to his site in my show notes also. So if you don't have a downward expander plugin for your software or a voice processor with a downward expander, and even if you do, you really want to record in the place that's as quiet as possible that you can get to. A lot of podcasters use their basements because they're naturally quiet, and some, like Michael Gohagan, have an actual studio in their basement with padding that absorbs the sound, kind of like the stuff that's in professional studios, which I don't have. I live in an apartment, and I don't have the space to really make a real studio, and I don't have a basement to disappear into, and there are neighbors below my feet. So if they make a loud noise or a car alarm goes off in the parking lot, it's going to get into my recording, and I'm going to have to edit it out. So I guess we're just all going to have to do the best that we can. Now I'm going to talk just very briefly about microphones, briefly because I don't know a lot, but what I have learned might be useful to someone who's looking to start out. First of all, unless you're going to get something really cheap, if you're looking to actually spend a few dollars, and I'm in no way saying that this is required, but some people, as, and I keep referring to this excellent blog entry by Michael Gohagan, some people are going to see this as a hobby that they get serious about, and some people have a hobby of flying model airplanes, and they pay $1,000 or more for a model plane or a model helicopter, and that's just something they like to do and something they like to do with their money. So some people might do it for that reason, or others may do it because they're hoping to eventually turn their podcast into something that can make them a little bit of money, so they see it as an investment. And this is something that Michael Gohagan said in his blog posting where he talked about podcasting. So anyway, back to the microphone stuff. Basically, any microphone that plugs in with the 1/8-inch plug, which is basically what most headphones for iPods and other, you know, Walkman-sized things take, is going to be considered low quality by a pro. And anything with the 1/4-inch plug, which is the same kind of plug, only bigger, like the earphone jack in your home theater, is also considered low quality consumer garbage. The kind of mics that professional broadcasters use uses a plug that's called an XLR plug, and it's basically round with three holes or three pins, and many people have probably seen them, especially anyone who's ever, you know, been in an auditorium or been a part of a school play or worked at Radio Shack. You've probably seen these, and these range in price probably from $50 or $60 to a few $1,000s, and I would say that for the most part, especially if you're only going to be recording voice, you don't need to spend a lot of money. But I would still say I would spend about $100. The Audio-Technica AT2020 is a $99 microphone, which I purchased, and I like it a lot better than the first microphone I purchased, which was a $70 MXL microphone, when MXL is apparently a brand owned by Marshall, which is famous for making amplifiers, but according to the people that I spoke to in the Pro Audio news groups, MXL is a cheaply produced brand, and Audio-Technica is a little more respected. Another microphone that was recommended to me by a couple of people is the AT4033, also by Audio-Technica, but that's a mic that retails for $400. Now, I did eventually end up buying one on eBay for $200, but so far, I don't know whether it's my untrained ears or what, but I don't really notice a difference between the AT4033 and the AT2020, except that the AT4033 has a couple of extra switches for different kinds of effects on the back of it. I don't know if you'd really call them effects, but I don't know really what they do. So, either do a lot of research and find out what is a respected model and, you know, read the reviews and that kind of thing, or I would say pick up an AT2020 because it was recommended to me when I asked the question of professionals and said I was on a budget but wanted a good quality mic. So I'm going to put a link to that mic, to Ty Ford's website and book, and MWG blog, Michael Gohagan's weblog, in my show notes. That's basically all I have. And if anyone has any corrections or suggestions to add to what I said here, then please let me know and I will pass them on to the broader audience, or make your own podcast. Like I said, I don't know what I'm doing well. I've been playing, and I think I've gotten a pretty decent sound, and I've gotten some good feedback on the audio quality, so seems like I'm doing okay, but it doesn't really mean that I am an expert, because I'm Definitely not. So if you know anyone who is an expert, definitely seek their advice, seek their opinion. But remember, what it comes down to is your content, because Adam Curry has thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and Don and Drew have tens of dollars worth of equipment, and they are consistently in the top 10 podcasts. So the dollars do not make the popularity. So I think that's quite enough rambling out of me for one evening. So thanks for listening, and send feedback as always to milocast@gmail.com or 206-666-MILO. And be sure to check milocast.com for the show notes and any other updates I put on there.